Amen. Appreciate the song they sang about just say amen. 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 I wish sometimes we would be more vocal with our amens. We agree with something God said. It's a scriptural. There's several verses in the Bible that goes on, and then at the end of it, it just says amen. Amen. And the Lord Himself said amen to Himself. He's true and faithful. He is the amen. And so I'm thankful today for all that God's done for us, and He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of the amens. All right, take your Bibles with me. Turn to the book of Exodus chapter number 3. The book of Exodus chapter number 3. And we're going to try to preach a message here. It might turn into a series of messages here, but I'm going to look at this phrase this morning, I am. I am. I tell you what, God has been good. We had testimonies Wednesday night of the goodness of God and the provision of God throughout all this this time that we've been going through, not only health but financially. And you know what? God deserves all the glory, the praise, and the honor. I gave a testimony after I went through the sickness, and I wanted to say I thank God for giving the president wisdom. God still deserves all the glory, praise, and honor. Amen. And I appreciate what God's done for us, and He deserves all the glory and all the praise. None of it belongs to us. There's nothing that our church has ever done or ever will do that is on our own merit. It's because of God and what He's done. And so I want to look here in Exodus chapter number 3 for a few minutes this morning. And again, this might turn into a series here. We'll see how it goes. But Exodus chapter number 3, and begin reading with me in verse number 10. This is the calling of Moses. God hears the cry of His people there. They're in bondage to Egypt. Many of you already read this back towards the first of the year when we were doing our Bible reading. And speaking of Bible reading, I have the new papers. I don't know where they are. They're in here somewhere. So before you leave today, he has the paper. So as soon as church is over, get you a new reading paper for this week. If there's not enough, I'll print some more. But as we go through here, this is the calling of Moses. And God hears the cry of His people, and they're under bondage there in Egypt. And Moses has the burning bush experience there in the first part of chapter number 3. In verse number 10, we find the calling of Moses. And we find some things in this story that I believe we can relate to a lot of times when it comes to God's calling in our life. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Good to hear that again. Come now, therefore, verse number 10, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. I am hath sent me. And so we find here the children of Israel in bondage. God calls Moses out to try to rescue them. We know that Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of the world. If y'all need to get up under that tent some more, you can. I know that's not social distancing very well, but it's starting to sprinkle. But Egypt is a type of the world. It's a type of the world, and it's also a type of sin. We know that all through the Bible. But we find the calling of Moses here. We find the calling of Moses, and Moses, like a lot of people, end up coming up with excuses. He ends up having excuses of why he cannot do what God has asked him to do. And we see that here in this story, and I believe it's something that we all deal with. We're taking a break here for just a second while we get under some shelter. Amen. Nick, come help me slide this back.
Marissa. Marissa,
come sit up here with Dad.
Nope. All right. It won't last long. Lord willing. Miss Sarah can take the nursery to the van, I guess. All right. So let's pick back up here. Moses is being called by God to help the children of Israel here. They're in Egypt. They're in bondage, which is exactly a type in the Bible of the world and of sin. And when God comes to Moses and asks him about doing this job that he's given him to do, look with me there in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Exodus chapter 4, and verse number 1. Help us, Lord. All right, Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. So God calls Moses there, and Moses begins to question how things are going to be done. And then in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And so Moses' very first excuse that we find after being called to do a work for God is, "They will not believe me." How many times do we have family members or have folks that we're trying to witness to, and God might lay them on your heart, and the very first thing you say is, "Well, they won't believe me. They won't change anyway." I mean, I think I found myself doing that before, where God will lay somebody on your heart and you say, "God, you don't know how wicked they are." Well, God does know how wicked they are. And He knew how wicked you were too, amen, but He saved you. And thank God for that. But Moses here, his first excuse is, "They will not believe me." But you realize as we go through here that every single excuse that Moses had and every excuse that we have, God has an answer for. You're not going to slip anything past Him. You're not going to get to a point where you say, "God, I want to do something for you, but..." Because God's going to have an answer for you. You're not going to get to a point where God's going to say, "Well, I didn't realize you had this condition, so I guess I can't use you." Amen? And that's Moses tries to come up with all these reasons why he can't serve God. He said, "They will not believe me." God's answer is there in verse number 2 through verse number 9, where He tells him about casting the rod down and it turned into a serpent, and picking it back up again and putting His hand in His bosom and it's leprosy, and He pulls it out. He goes, "I will show them miracles and I'll show them some signs where they'll believe you." Moses' second excuse. Look there with me in verse number 10. Verse number 10, I hear this excuse a lot when it comes to people doing something for God. Asking them to get up and give a testimony or do anything, teach a Sunday school class. Verse number 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Amen. Brother Bowen said he was slow when he was up there, but he's doing it anyway. Amen. Praise God for it. Hey, let me tell you, we all have things that we're not good at. We all have things that we might not be eloquent at. I know I'm not an eloquent speaker, and I get words wrong. My wife tells she tries to help me, amen, all the time. She goes, "You spelled that wrong. You said that wrong." I put out the question of the day the other day, and I spelled decree wrong. It's spelled the other way. It's not degree, it's decree, amen. There's always things that we're doing wrong. But Moses said, "I'm not eloquent. I'm slow at speech." I don't know what kind of speech problem he had, but he said that he had a problem there. Look at verse number 11. God answered him. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth?" Man, that's a humbling thing, is it not? For Moses said, "God, I can't do this thing because I'm not eloquent, because I'm slow of speech." And God said, "Who made your mouth?" Amen. Well, you did. Amen? Well, you did. Who made your mouth? And who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Amen. He knows Brother Tim's deaf. Amen. He knows that I'm slow. He knows that Brother Bowen's slow. Brother Bowen said that, so I can say it. Amen. He knows these things. He knows that we have these problems. Verse number 12 says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." So Moses has all these excuses of why he can't do something. "I'm not eloquent enough. They will not believe me." He goes on to say, I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. God knows all those things. And over again, God said, I will help you. Look at verse number 14. After Moses gets done saying, God, they won't believe me. I'm not eloquent enough. I have a slow tongue. And God continues to respond to him, telling him, I will help you. The Bible says in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. That would be a bad place for us to find ourselves, where God is trying to give us something to do for Him, but we keep making excuses. And you know, when you make excuses about not being able to do something for God, you know what you're telling Him? God, I don't trust you. Amen? Well, what you say, I would never say that to Him. Well, whenever you make excuses for not doing something for God, you're telling Him, I do not trust that you can do it. Because people say, well, I can't do that, or I can't do this. I'm not mentioning names at all. How many times have some of y'all that have been in ministry a long time, amen, how many times have you heard a preacher get up and he preaches for 2 hours and said that when he was younger he couldn't even stand up in front of a class and talk? How many times have you heard that testimony? Man, I've heard it time and time again. I didn't want to get up. I failed speech class because I wouldn't get up and give a speech. And now the preacher preaches for 2 hours. Amen. That's what God can get a hold of somebody. And God can use them to do something for Him. Amen. You say, you don't know where I've been. You don't know that I've been divorced. Or you don't know the problems I've been through. I'm telling you, God can still use you to do a great work for Him. Amen. But the key is God. Where we mess up is when we try to do something for God without Him. Yeah. And we try to do it under our own power and our own might. We need the Spirit of God. We need His presence. And we need Him to help us. And He will. He will take you if He wants to use you. And He'll equip you with what you need to do the job. We find that here with Moses. God's anger was kindled. And you know what He said? He did this, and I fear this, that if God has called us as a church to do something for Him, and we won't do it because we want to make excuses, that He'll do like He did to Moses and says, that's fine, we'll let Aaron talk. Amen? You don't want to teach Sunday school, you don't want to do children's church, you don't want to help with this, you don't want to go door knocking, that's fine. Somebody else will get the blessing for doing it. Amen? I want to be used of God. Not to say that we're anybody, not to say that we're something, because He's worthy for us to do that for Him. Say, so why would He choose us? I don't know, amen. But He does. Do you know why sometimes He chooses the ones that are slow of speech, the ones that are deaf, the ones that are dumb, the ones that have speech problems? Because when something gets done, God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory for everything that's said and done. If somebody has got some problem where it doesn't seem like they can do anything for God because they're hindered by health or because they're hindered by something, but yet something gets done, then God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory and all the praise. God called Moses out and He gave him a job. He said that Aaron, if you read there in verse number 14 through 16, we're not going to read it all, that he can speak for you. He will be the spokesperson unto the people. He shall be instead of thee as a mouth. And God, yet again, told Moses, you have no excuse to do what I'm asking you to do. Church, we have no excuse to not do what God has asked us to do. You said, what has He asked us to do? He has asked us to tell the world that Jesus saved. And to win people to God, to love them, to try to bring them in, to try to preach the gospel to them, to try to preach the Bible and clean them up so that God can bless their home and bless their marriage and bless their family and they can have a good life through Jesus Christ. People looking for peace and all that, we have it. But we don't go share it with them. What good is that? Amen? Now, I can't wait till we can get back trying to knock some doors and tell people about a risen Savior. Hey, this world is dying and they're going to hell and it's sad to see all the pain and suffering. But Jesus Christ is the answer. And Him alone is the answer. But you know what? It's our job to tell them. Amen? It's our job to tell them. We have a perfectly good bus sitting over here. A perfectly good bus that we could go out and try to pick up some people and pick up some kids and do things. But you know what it takes? It takes God calling somebody. It takes God calling a young man, a young woman, and putting the burden on their heart to say, hey, I'm going to go every Saturday and go visit. We're going to go pick people up. But you know why we can't do that? Because we have too much going on in our own life. Amen? We're selfish. We live in one of the most selfish times there's ever been. And I'm telling you right now that the few folks in the church that do everything, they can't do it all. Amen? The pastor and his wife can't do it all. And I'm praying, I'm really praying that God would put it on a couple's heart, a husband and wife, to say, hey, we're going to start doing that. We're going to go. Hey, it's going to take commitment. It's going to take some perseverance, but we're going to go try to knock some doors and try to start bringing some kids. And you might only get two or three. But hey, if one gets saved, it was worth it all. Man. When we ran the thing before, we had one get saved. Isabella, didn't we? She got saved. We have some kids from the neighborhood that I live in now that got saved. And I'm telling you, it was worth it to see them get saved. And they're not here today. I don't know where they are. But they got born again. I tell you what, they're saved. Amen. And they got a foundation. I'd like to see that thing. God laid that on my heart, but I can't do it. I can't do it by myself. Amen. I'm praying that God would put somebody, some folks in our church, give them ministries. We have the nursing home ministry, and I thank God for it. I thank God for the participation. But I tell you, there's a lot to be done. I'm praying God would give some folks in our church some burdens for some ministries. Sometimes people will come up and say, preacher, I think we need to do this. Amen. You know what my response is going to be? Praise the Lord, brother. I'm glad you surrendered to it. God laid it on your heart. He must have wanted you to do something. Amen. Get involved with something. Get in a ministry. Ask God to give you something to do. You know, we try to find excuses today, and just like God answered Moses in all the ways He did, I'm not eloquent, they won't believe me, I'm slow of speech, and God answered them every time. Every time we have an excuse today, the Lord answers us. 2 Corinthians 12:9, He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what Paul said, amen. Hey, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Say, I can't do it. God said, I don't need you to do it. I need you to let me do it through you. Amen. I need you to let me do it through you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's all things, not some things. Amen. I can do all things. What Moses and sometimes we fail to see is that God does not want your ability. He wants your availability. All God wants is for you to say, Lord, here I am, I'll do it. God, this is what you want me to do. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. And God said, I'll help you. All right, well, here comes the rain some more. So let's scooch in some more. Hey, some of y'all need to come sit up here. You can. As long as you don't care about being on camera. Grab a chair, brother. Prop up on a speaker. If anybody needs to come sit up here, we got room up here. Elijah, come up here. Are you good? Come on. Emma, come sit up here. Amen. Praise the Lord for the rain. Alright, it'll pass over here in just a second. Hey, I get, you know, right now it's baseball season normally, and if it wasn't for them canceling all this, somebody would be sitting out in the rain right now getting wet in baseball, yelling for children, amen. Guaranteed, so we can do it for the Lord, amen. This will be something the kids will never, I won't ever forget it, amen. Alright, so let me try to get on and get finished up here. I'm just trying to encourage us this morning, church, that God has a work for us to do, but it's not us that's going to do the work. It's Him. He uses us. God does not want your ability. He wants your availability. God does not want you to do anything. He wants to do it through you. Amen. Any great work that's ever been done for God has been somebody that's just willing to give themselves to God for Him to use them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what God wants us to do as a church, as families, as individuals, as couples? He just wants us to be able to get before God and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you need me to do, I'm here for you. That's what Saul did. That's what Samuel did. These other great men of the Bible, that's what they did. How they just said, Lord, here I am. Whatever you need me to do, that's what I'll do. Can y'all still hear me okay? Amen. I'll just give you these few things here and I'll be finished this morning. Has anybody ever given you a blank check? Nobody's ever given me one. Amen. A blank check. And they just said, hey, whatever it costs, you fill out that check. And I'm thankful that nobody's ever given me one before. I don't know what I would do with it. Amen. Try to be honest and write down exactly what it costs. I have filled out checks before, and I put the total in, and I've signed them, and I've left the two blank because I didn't know who to write it out to. Amen. I said, I'll let them figure that out. But I've never given anybody a blank check with no number on it and not signing it. But do you know that God, here in the passage with Moses, He said, I'm not eloquent, Lord. He said, well, who made your mouth? I'm slow of speech. They won't believe me. And all the things. He said, God, who shall I say sent thee? And God responded back to Moses and said, you tell them, I am that I am. You know what He did for Moses that day? And some of y'all might have heard messages like this before, but God wrote Moses a blank check. He said, whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you struggle with, whatever it is that you need to do the job, I will be that for you. If you need a mouthpiece, I'll send Aaron. If you need strength, I'll give you strength. And I don't know if you know this, church, but when you go back and read that story, I don't remember Aaron talking at all. Y'all remember Aaron saying hardly anything? Moses, when he got there in front of Pharaoh, started talking, Moses couldn't keep his mouth shut, and he was the one doing all the talking, and I didn't see Aaron saying hardly anything. God gave him a blank check. He said, I am that I am. Whatever it is you need me to be, that's exactly what I'll be. And I'm here to tell you today that that is exactly what God has done for us. Amen. God has issued us a blank check. You say, what does that mean, Brother Andrew? Well, the thing that I need from God might not be the same thing that Sister Ashley needs or Sister Watson needs. Hey, it might not be the same thing that Brother Tim needs. But whatever it is that you need, that's what God can be for you this morning.
Amen.
And that's the strength that God can give you. And He can be your help. There's things that I lack and there's things that I struggle with. And I need the help of God to do it. Amen. I need His help. I've met preachers and singers before that no matter what they're going through, even if they're involved in sin, they can get up and they can put on a show and nobody will ever know it. Amen. They'll get up and they'll just put on this facade and they'll get up and they'll preach or they'll sing like there's nothing wrong. The next day you find out they're in some kind of awful sin. And man, I don't know how they do that. Amen. When I get done preaching, if there's something on my heart or mind, it might not even be sin, but just something on my heart. I got people in the church coming up and saying, hey, what's wrong, preacher? I can't hide nothing. Amen. I need the help of God to do everything that it is that we do. We need His help. We need His presence. I got a list of things here. He is the I am. I am that I am. All right. We got another adjustment here. Hopefully the CDC don't roll up in here. Amen. All right. Nobody took a shower this morning. They're getting one right now. He said, I am that I am. The blank check that was given to Moses, the same one He gives us today. I got this list I want to read off. It says, to the announcer, He's the voice of God. To the arbitrator, He's the true intercessor. To the architect, He's the great designer. To the archaeologist, He's the rock of ages. To the astrologer, He's the bright and morning star. To the astronomer, He's the son of righteousness. To the attorney, He's the true advocate. To the baker, He's the living bread. To the carpenter, He's the sure foundation. To the coal miner, He's the hidden treasure. To the doctor, He's the great physician. To the educator, He's the great teacher. To the electrician, He's the power of God. To the engineer, He's the chief cornerstone. To the explorer, He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek. To the fireman, He's the rescuer of the perishing. To the florist, He's the lily of the valley. To the historian, He's the ancient of days. To the horticulturist, He's the true vine. To the inventor, He's the creator of all things. To the jeweler, He's the pearl of great price. To the judge, He's the lawgiver. To the juror, He's the true witness. To the mailman, He's the true deliverer. To the musician, He's the horn of salvation. To the negotiator, He's the true mediator. To the nurse, He's the true comforter. To the operator, He's the one to call on. To the ophthalmologist, He's the seer of all things. To the philosopher, He's the wisdom of God. To the photographer, He's the image of God. To the printer, He's the true type. To the reporter, He's the greatest story that's ever been told. To the sailor, He's the true anchor. To the tailor, He's the perfect fit. To the zoologist, He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And to the writer, He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Hey, whatever it is that we need, that's exactly what He is for us. The blank check. You say, well, you don't understand what kind of job I have. Oh, you come tell me. I promise I'll find and hear what the Bible says about it. And He will help you. Amen. Whatever ministry He gives you, whatever job He gives our church to do, He will help us and He'll equip us for whatever we need. I'm thankful today that I know the I Am. I know Him personally. Amen. I hope you know Him this morning. Know the I Am. The I Am all through the Bible. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at some of the I Ams of the Bible. And I'm telling you, that's what He is for us. That's exactly what He is for us. I'm going to attempt to read a message that a black preacher preached. And may I tell you what? He was talking about how good God was and who God was and that He is the I Am. And then he goes on to say, that man that I'm preaching about, he said, that's my king. That's my king. That's my king. My Bible says that He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of Israel. He is the King of righteousness. And He is the King of the ages. He is the King of heaven. He is the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my king. He goes on to say, I wonder, do you know Him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast. He is immortally graceful. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He is God's Son. He is the sinner's Savior. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He is unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He is the highest personality. He is the fundamental doctrine in true theology. He's qualified to be efficient. Wonder if you know Him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He is available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meager. I wonder if you know Him today. He is the key to knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway of peace. He is the roadway of righteousness. He is the highway of holiness. And He is the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His Word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He goes on to say, I wish I could describe Him to you. Amen. He is indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He is invincible. He is irresistible. You can't get Him out of your mind and you can't get Him off your hand. You can't outlive Him and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they could not stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him. And the grave could not hold Him. He said, that is my King. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, in the rain outside of right front of our church, that's the King that I serve. That's who's been so good to me. And as we stand up and testify this past Wednesday about God's provision and about how good He's been, just remember that's our King. And no matter what you go through, no matter what you're facing, God will and can help you through it. If you'll let Him. Moses came before God and the burning bush was there. If you go back and read the story, he took his shoes off for he was standing on holy ground. And God called him to go rescue His people from the world. We all have family. We all have friends. If God doesn't do something, they're going to die and go to hell. We've got some that are, maybe they're saved, but they're not living right. And maybe their kids and future generations will not know who God is. And that's a scary thing. But you know what? We can't just tell them what to do. We can. We have the answer. But we need God to do something. I can't save anybody. Amen? If I save somebody, they're going to die and go to hell. Because I can't save them. I can't win the lost to the Lord. God has to do something. But you know what? He wants to use me. He wants to use us. We got the tracks in here. He wants to use us just to be a vessel to give out a track. He wants to use us just to be a vessel to tell of what God did for you. That's what He wants to do this morning. He wants to use us. And Moses here said, I'm not eloquent. I can't do it. They won't believe me. And God said, Moses, I can imagine when the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. I can imagine He just wanted to grab him by the head and say, Moses, I just need your body. I just need you to say, yes, sir, and I'll do it all. You say, I don't know what to say. I promise you, if you'll trust God and you go to witness to somebody, you might be scared, you might be nervous. Amen. You say, I don't know what to say. As soon as you start talking, the Holy Spirit of God will give you verses. Hey, but in order for Him to do that, you got to be in your Bible. Amen. You got to have verses for Him to bring up. Amen. You get in there and you start talking to Him and tell Him about what God did for you. And next thing you know, you'll finish and say, where did all that come from? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Moses never stopped talking. Through his life and his story, I don't know where he ever stopped talking. But his excuse was, I can't. I can't talk. This preacher preached this message, that's my King. I believe it was SM, that's my King. And I thought it was fitting with the message this morning, that no matter what